You're listening to Westside Church. For more information, visit us at westsideinfo.com.
Very happy New Year to everybody. If you're newer to Westside, we really appreciate you being here. We appreciate folks coming, visiting. Sometimes people are from out of town and they visit, and we give you a warm welcome. And sometimes people are looking for a home church, and we give you a very warm welcome as well. And I just want to, as this is the first Sunday of the year, I just want to talk about Westside Church just for a minute, just to give you just sort of a recap of what we're about. We're a local church who believes in Jesus. We believe in God. We believe that He really exists. We believe that He loved us so much that He came Himself. He stepped out of eternity into time and space and demonstrated His love toward us and died in our place on the cross. And we really can have relationship with the Creator of this universe. We believe that with all of our hearts. Our first and foremost passion here at Westside Church is that we love God, we love His Word, we're passionate about Him, and we don't make any apologies about that. The next thing about Westside is we don't think we're it. We don't think we have it all, know it all, are it all. We believe that, like Paul said, he said, each of you as members of the body are part of it. We believe that we're part of it. We're not it. He is it. We're part of it. We're part of what He's doing. We're not responsible for the entire world. We have a calling to the whole world, but we start in our own sphere of influence. And that's first and foremost our own life, to get our own life in order the way that God has, and to become equipped and trained so that we can look outward and impact other people around us, our family, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, our classmates, and as a church together, we can impact this region for the name of Jesus. And so we're passionate about this. There's a place for you here. If you've ever wondered about Westside, maybe you've been part of Westside for a while, you haven't gotten plugged in somewhere, there's a place for you. Each one of you has a gift. We believe that with all of our hearts, and that gift needs to be expressed, needs to be used. Some of you are more rational thinkers. Some of you are more heart thinkers, heart doers. Some of you are more artistic. Some of you are more athletic. Some of you are more relational. Some of you, whatever your main package of giftings is, we want that here at Westside. We need you, and you need us here at Westside together as a family. We're a radically Bible-based church. We believe all the Bible. We don't try to add anything. We do not add anything to it. We do not take anything away from it, even the parts that we don't like. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Doesn't that sound great? Turn your cheek and love your enemy. That's not so easy. All right, but we don't throw anything out. We do all of what the Bible says. And humbly before God, we want to grow in Him and serve Him and impact this community. And we gather together regularly as a local church. Because in the Bible, you'll see only two expressions of the church. You'll see the church universal, and you'll see the local church. The church universal is Christ's body, Christ's bride. That's every believer from all time. That's the church universal. We're part of that. When you say yes to Jesus, you're a member of His body, of His church. And then the only other expression of the church you'll see in the Bible is local churches. Our local churches, gatherings of believers that come together for the purpose of hearing from God, encouraging one another, getting equipped, and getting sent out each week into our sphere of influence. And there's lots of room, there's lots of latitude for expressions or outworkings of local churches around the world. This is our local church. We call it Westside Church. We have blue chairs, brown carpet, a funky building, a horrible front building. The ugliest building on the property faces the street. That's our dream, for that one to come down first and a newer building go up there in its place. It will house a cafe and ministry and all that stuff. But that's not in the Bible. Blue chairs and brown carpet are not in the Bible. It's just who we are. Cross between, Earth, Wind, and Fire and the Eagles and the Partridge Family for a worship band is not in the Bible. But it's who we are. It's what expresses our worship to the Lord. And I've been in churches that are very quiet. And I grew up in a church. My dad was a pastor. We had an organ and a piano. And people love God. I saw people with tears streaming down their eyes. We can't put a value judgment on style. And so this is just who we are. We don't apologize for that. We're probably not going to change much. This is who we are. But more importantly is the foundation behind it. We radically love God. We want to serve him with all of our hearts. And we want to make a difference where he's called us. And so there certainly is a place for you here, and we're looking forward to that. With all that said, there is a new Westside 101 class coming up on February 23rd, is it? Somewhere around there, February 23rd. Westside 101 is the introduction to Westside. If you are thinking about making Westside your permanent church home, we'd love to see you there. And I'll go into what I just talked about more deeply, give you a chance to ask questions. We'll have a meal together. And then you, before the Lord, you can say, yes, God's called me here. Or, God bless you, we're going to look somewhere else. And so that is a warm invite. I encourage you to sign up at the back so we know how many are coming. There's a lot of stuff going on at Westside. Please take a look at your bulletins and your printed materials. There's a bulletin board outside. There's announcements online. And on the screens here, so we try to be redundant in our communication. And like Tyler said earlier, if you have any questions, just look around for somebody who looks like they know something and say, hey, where do I get an answer to this? Or go to the Welcome Center, and they'll point you in the right direction. We're a local church. We believe the Bible. We're led by a team of elders, an eldership government, just like mom and dad are the eldership team of the home. The home is a microcosm of the church, just like mom and dad lead the home in fear and admonition and humility before Almighty God. The elders lead this church the same way before the Lord, and we're a big family here, and we love each other. We try to work through our problems, our relational problems in biblical manner, and we don't just walk away and run away. We work through them so that our relationships are stronger after that, and so I'm just excited to be here. It's 2014. My wife and I have been here for 14 years now. We came in 2000, and just excited about what God's doing and what's lying ahead. So I want to include that on the online. We don't have tapes anymore. We don't even have CDs anymore. Well, I want to include that on the electrons going out to the World Wide Web, okay? So do you have a Bible reading plan for 2014? It's not too late to start. It's Sunday afternoon, and if you're 5 days behind, you could catch up. I encourage you to get on a plan. There's some in the back. If you've never done a Bible reading plan, there's one called 5x5, and you read 5 minutes for 5 minutes for 5 days a week, and you can get through the entire New Testament. We just had a great testimony a couple weeks ago from Jen Swerbrook. She said it was the first time she read through the New Testament and got through on the plan, and she was finished like a week early. And she was so excited. And so some people are doing, my wife and I are doing the one-year Bible. You can go on your phone, your smartphone, or your computer and go to YouVersion and get that emailed to you every day. Or if you don't want to read it, you can actually get it emailed and you can listen to it. They'll read it to you every day. Some of you are more auditory learners, and you could play that in the car or in the home in the morning. But I encourage you, get the Word of God in you every day. And the new year is a great way to start those things. So I'm going to talk today about having a teachable heart. We're a little bit off our Acts series just because it's the new year. I wanted to get this out at the beginning. We're going to get back to Acts next week. In fact, I just planned out Acts. It goes all the way through the end of September. We'll be going through the entire book of Acts. I'm very excited about it, what God is doing with us in that. And our year theme for this year, 2014, it's back on our new board back there, You Will Be My Witnesses. So all this rolls in together. Think for a minute. Is there something that God's been telling you to do? Have you been feeling this for some time, or maybe it's brand new, or maybe it has to do with the new year? Maybe God has been telling you to start not doing something, as well as to start doing something. Have you written a goals list anywhere? I was talking to somebody recently, and they showed me their goal on January 1, 2013. And they go, look, it's January 1, 2014, and I accomplished these goals. You know, those are great. Some of you don't like New Year's resolutions or goals, those kind of things. You don't like being told what to do just because it's a calendar. And I agree in some sense. If God tells you to do something on March 20th, then you better do it on March 20th. Don't wait till January 1st to start. But to me, a new year, it's like a fresh start. God's always about fresh starts. He goes, your mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I just love that about God. And so if you have something that you know God wants you to do, are you going to do it? Seriously, are you going to do it? Some of you have been told stuff to do a long time ago. I know I was. I kind of went through a journey this last year and shared that publicly, that God had told me something a long time ago. And finally, you just have to say, God, I repent. I'm sorry. And I'm going to do this, what I know you've called me to do. It might be go back to school. It might be study his word more. It might be learn a new skill. There are musicians sitting in this room. I'm telling you right now, there's musicians, brilliant musicians in the raw, in seed form, because you've never developed that gift, the potential for that gift. Some of you should be singing up on the stage up here. Some of you should be playing instruments up here. Get good first, all right? Practice it first. Some of you have skills in language arts that you see all the typos on the thing. We need people to go through those things and do that. We need administrative help in the office. We need children's workers. We need all these kind of things. There's a place. But what has God told you to do, and are you doing it? Now, here's the thing. I know that that's easier said than done, really. If it's something that's difficult, if it's something worthwhile, it's not going to be easy. It's going to be a task. It's going to be a journey that God has called us on. So, in order for you to do those things, it's going to take change. So I'm going to talk about, that was my intro, and then to do that, it's going to take change. And to change, we need to be teachable and have a bendable, malleable heart. And so that's going to be the flow of the talk this morning. But change, some people like it. Some people don't like it. Some people love change. Change your underwear twice a day. There's some people that go, they resist and dig their heels in. They don't want to have any change. I remember when we first came to this church, somebody told me, they said, the next box that leaves my house will have me in it. And I go, whoa, that person doesn't like change. And so some people resist, some people are changing all the time, and that gets each one in excess or not healthy. But we have to have our eye on the goal and make adjustments as we move along. So here's what I tweeted this week. Change will come whether you like it or not. You can oppose it and hide, or face it and prepare. The choice is yours. So how do we change? Here's how you change. You've got something from God. You want to make this change in your life. Sometimes change is, number one, getting back to the basics. Going back to the basics. Sometimes we have to relearn things. We have to forget what we're doing, forget all the bad habits, and go back to the start and relearn from the beginning again and relearn what we know. Go back to the basics. Some of the greatest coaches in history, John Wooden, they would drill the basics. Not only the basics in the fundamentals of basketball, but the basics in relationships and team work and moving together. And sometimes we just need to go back there. I was going to take golf lessons once, and the guy who, a friend of mine, got me some lessons, and I went in for the first lesson, and the guy said, he goes, actually, you have so many things wrong with your swing, I don't know how in the world you hit the ball. I said, thank you. That was very encouraging. He goes, so I have a question for you. He goes, do you just want to continue enjoying the game? Because you're pretty good, but do you want to get better? He goes, if you want to get better, you have to forget everything you do and start all over, and it will take you years to learn how to do it properly to get a little bit better than you are now. Because you're almost so good. No, he didn't say that. Because you just get a little better than where you are now to do that. And I said, actually, no, I just enjoy the game. I enjoy hanging out with my friends. And I don't have time to play golf three times a week, you know, and get better like that. So he said, okay, just do this and this and just go have fun. He told me, don't waste my money on the rest of the lessons. So, but you have to go back to the basics. Sometimes you number two, you need to just get moving. You know what you're supposed to do. Everything's in place. You just got to put your foot on the gas pedal and go. You just got to get going. That happened with the children of Israel. In Deuteronomy, Moses is recapping for the people. He said, when we were at Mount Sinai, the Lord our God said to us, you have stayed at this mountain long enough. It's time to break camp and move on. In other words, the children of Israel wandering around the desert, they had camped some places longer, some place less, but they had been at this mountain at the foot long enough, and it's time to move. Sometimes we just have to get up and get going. We just have to actually move. There's nothing stopping us. We know what it is we're supposed to do. We know what the right thing is supposed to do. Everything's in place. Everything's working. If we just turn the key and it starts, it's going to go. Sometimes we just have to get going. And sometimes, number three, we need a brand new start. We need a brand new start. Someone once said, if you're riding a dead horse, for heaven's sake, dismount. Just get off and go get a new horse, all right? Jesus said something similar to Nicodemus in John 3:3. He said, I tell you the truth, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. So Nicodemus, a respected teacher, he was trying to fit what Jesus was saying into his existing form. And Jesus said, it's not going to happen. Nothing's going to happen. You are spiritually dead. You need a whole new life. You need a whole new paradigm shift. You need this whole new way of looking at things. And that is sometimes we want to make this change. We're feeling God wanting to make this change in our life. And he's saying, listen, you can't just add a bunch of rules. You can't just get some principles out of my word unless your heart is mine. Unless you have a brand new heart. Unless you've said yes to me. And then you come into this new life. And then we'll go from there. So, whatever the kind of change you need in you, whatever kind of change you need a teachable heart. You need to be able to learn new things. You need to be able to get off your high horse and say, I don't know everything. We need to hear from the Lord. We need to hear whispers from the Holy Spirit. We need to be able to hear between the lines, the Spirit speaking to us about his word. We need to hear and listen and receive from others who've walked that way before. I used to take kids... when I was superintendent of a Christian school, it was small. They didn't have a lot of stuff, but what we did, we tried to make up. So they had a two-week trip in Hawaii for their graduation trip and every year, and somebody had to take them. And so it was one of the real tough assignments. Well, actually, it's tougher taking a bunch of 17 and 18-year-olds to Hawaii, trying to make them think that they're on their own and get away with that. But it was fun, but... I used to tell them, we'd prepare ahead, and I'd say, okay, this is where we're going to stay, this is what we're going to do, we're going to work on the YWAM base over here for a week, and then we're going to go have fun over here and do this. And I said, now listen, do you enjoy me telling you about Hawaii, because I've been there a bunch of times, or would you rather have, you know, Joey sitting here on the front row tell you about Hawaii, he's never been there? And they said, well, somebody who's been there. I said, you know what, it's the same way with your parents, they've been where you are. And there's people in your life, in your teachers, that have been where you are. You might think they just were born adults, but they weren't. They were your age. They had the problems you had. And you would benefit from their wisdom because they've been there before. They'll keep you from going off the cliff. So sometimes we need to hear things or be teachable and learn things from our spouse or maybe our friends or maybe even our kids. I hope that we've heard the Lord through our kids before. And we've been able to be teachable and learn things. It might be a sermon. It might be a song. It might be a scripture. It might be a serendipitous moment. Whatever it is, we need to be people that have a teachable heart. And we need to be able to receive from people. And the biggest thing that gets in the way, of course, is pride. That we know it all. How many of you, this is a confession here. How many of you have a hard time when people tell you something that you already know? Anybody? I do. My wife does. So we both have that thing. So it's like, I know, dear. Thank you for telling me something I knew before you were born. So that's pride. That's pride. Just to say, okay, I don't know everything. I can learn from you. And I just love that. So here's some qualities. We have some qualities of a teachable heart to get us on an off and running start for the new year. Qualities of a teachable heart. Number one, humility. Number one, humility. This requires great trust in God. This is humility in seeking and admitting that we need some help. That's humility. Humility is saying, I don't know everything. Humility, one of my favorite, if not my favorite definition of humility is being willing to be known for who you really are. That's humility. Being willing to be known for who you really are. You're so good at the guitar. No, I'm not very good like this. No, everybody knows you're good. Everybody knows you're a good athlete. Everybody knows you're a good cook. Everybody knows this, and they compliment you, and you like this. And just to poo-poo it like that, that is not humility. Humility is this. Thank you. Appreciate that. With the underlying value that everything and all glory goes to God. But let your life point to God. But just say thanks. That's humility. You know what pride is? Pride is the opposite of humility. Pride is not being willing to be known for who you really are. You don't want to let people see the real you. You want to appear better than you are or appear not as bad as you really are. And that's prideful. Pride is hiding and humility is openness. And so Nicodemus, a great teacher, he came to Jesus by night, and he was willing to learn from Jesus. I love this story by S.I. McMillan in None of These Diseases. He tells the story of a young woman who wanted to apply for college, but her heart sank when she read this question on the application, and it said, "Are you a leader?" So she was honest, she was conscientious, so she wrote in the thing, "No, I'm not." So in her surprise, she hears from the college not long after, and they said, "Dear applicant, the study of the application forms reveals that this year our college will have 1,452 new leaders. We are accepting you because we feel it is imperative that they have at least one follower." So she got in. So are we humble? Are we who we really are? Do we have that quality of a teachable heart? Jesus spoke to his disciples in Mark 10, and he said, "You know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and the officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave." Our culture hates that word. Nobody wants to be anybody's slave. "But you must be the slave of everyone else. For even the Son of Man," Jesus is talking about himself, "if anyone deserved to be served, it was Jesus, the creator of this universe. But he said, 'No, I came not to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many.'" Number two, attitude of a teachable heart is perseverance. Perseverance is the desire to see it through to the end. It's the desire to overcome all these obstacles that keep us from following Christ and finishing what he's called us to do. After the Battle of Dunkirk, Winston Churchill, one of the greatest statesmen of the 20th century, and people call him a great orator, but if you actually listen to his speeches, there's early recordings of them, of when he speaks, it's not very inspiring, what we would consider inspiring speech. But here's what he said when he rallied a nation because the world had forsaken them. Hitler had rolled over Europe and ran through Paris and France and on the beaches of Normandy now and sending wave after wave of bombers into the city of London. And here's what Churchill said. And this is about persevering and not giving up. He said, "We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender." And that was it. That was about as excited as he was, too, when he said it. But it stirred a nation to come together in a spirit of unity and say, "We are going to see this thing through." Husband and wife, God is working on you. Your marriage is getting healed and fixed up, and you're not there yet, but you're on the way, and we will see this thing through. We are raising our kids in the fear and admonition of the Lord and raising them up, and we will see this thing through. We will not give up. We'll fight on the beaches. We'll fight in the fields, in the landing grounds. We shall never surrender, and we're going to keep going up. Not in our strength, but in his. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Paul says this in Philippians chapter 3. I love this to be on my gravestone someday. I'm not saying that I have all this together, that I've made, have it made, but I'm well on my way, reaching out for Christ, who has so wonderfully reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this, but I've got my eye on the goal where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I am off and running, and I'm not turning back. Perseverance. Folks, don't give up the fight. Don't give up the struggle with sin. Don't stop fighting with the devil. Don't stop praying over your kids, and that's true spiritual warfare, standing in the gap on their behalf and for those who can't. Don't stop fighting against apathy and mediocrity, but fight for your passion for Jesus. Fight for the Word of God becoming effective in your life. Fight for your calling. Fight for to use your gifts to serve others. Fight for your family. Fight on the beaches. Fight on the landing grounds. Never, ever, ever surrender. Keep going. Another quality of a teachable heart is insight. This has to do with listening, being able to hear what is being said. You know, there's a difference between just hearing and hearing what is being said. This is recognizing that God's word and the gospel, all the good news, all of that applies to me. And not just always using the word of God to apply this to somebody else. But to say, God, I want this to be applied to me. Paul says in Philippians 1:6, he says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in me, he's saying that we all say that to ourselves. He began a good work in me. I will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. We don't just do what the Bible says and judge others how they do it, but we actually take it to heart to ourselves. And we're always learning, we're always adjusting, we're always going through, we're always being teachable. John Wooden, that coach I referred to before, he said this, one of his famous quotes, he said, when I'm through learning, I'm through. And he's a guy that passed away at 99, I think, just a few years ago. He said, when I'm through learning, I'm through. We want to be a people who are learning. We want to be a people who are soft. And we got to keep listening for God. Now, the next one, willingness. This has to do with our attitude. This is our attitude. Yes, I'm willing. I'm willing to submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ. I'm willing to lay down my preferences. And I'm willing to not be so stinking opinionated all the time. Do you know what opinions do? Opinions divide. They divide people. Someone throws out an opinion and people have to take a stand. I agree or I disagree. And opinions by their very nature are divisive. And we have to be careful with that. When we're trying to lead people to Jesus, why throw up unnecessary blockades all the time? My favorite example is somebody says, I hate chocolate chip cookies. First of all, don't be a hater. I hate chocolate chip cookies. Like this. And somebody is sitting right there, their grandmother who made the best chocolate chip cookies in the world just passed away recently. And they go, so there's a wall goes up. I don't like you because you don't like chocolate chip cookies. Like this. And it's just so silly. Just don't share opinions. Share truth when necessary. Share truth in love. And ask God for the right timing. But don't be opinionated. We all have opinions about everything. But we don't have to share them all the time. Because our main goal is to represent the love and the graciousness of Jesus. John 11:27. This is Martha. She says to Jesus, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. The point here is he is Lord, not us. His opinion counts, not necessarily ours. All right? When somebody asks you something, you don't really need to give opinions. If you do give an opinion, say, this is my opinion. But when they ask you something regarding the Word of God or truth, say, this is what God's Word says. I would much rather say, this is what God says than this is what I say. So he is Lord. Number five, not only do we need to learn how to listen on the number four one, but the number four one, to be willing, but actually number five is we actually need to do it. That's obedience. That means I actually have an action here, and I actually do what God has said to do. I go beyond the mental agreement and the willingness. I've heard what you want. I agree with it, but now I actually do it. This is the obedience part. But the sad thing is some people won't even try to do it. Nah, I don't want to do that. Yeah, I know it's the right thing. Yeah, I should give my heart to Christ. Nah, I don't want to do that. It's like, oh, come on. Now I should lose weight. No, I should do that, cut out that habit. No, I should start getting into the word more. No, I should start being nice to my neighbor. Nah, I don't want to do that. Like this. This is obedience. Obedience is actually better than sacrifice, the word of God says. It's better than, you know, doing a bunch of list of things that God says, listen, I don't want all that sacrifice. I just want you to obey me. I want you to have a willing heart, and then I actually want you to get out there and do it. Jesus said this, and it's pretty harsh if you think about it. He said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. You know what that says? If you don't keep my commandments, you don't love me. That's pretty straightforward. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Here's a couple. Yeah, there's a lot of commandments. Jesus said, make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded. Well, Jesus did command a lot of things. A lot of times we say, no, he's about love and forgiveness and grace and mushy-mushy and all this stuff. And sometimes we give more grace than God does. And God actually says, no, actually, I want you to do these things. I want you to let those children come to me. That's a command, not a suggestion. I want you to obey me, he said. I want you to come to me. That's not a request, it's a command. Come to me. In fact, Jesus never said please. He said do this, do that. That's what Jesus did. So there's a lot of commands that Jesus did, but he did them for our best, and he did them for our highest, and he did it out of ultimate love for us. And he taught us this. Here's three commandments that he just gave us in this little passage in Luke. Judge not, and you'll not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Don't go around judging people. First of all, you haven't walked in their shoes. That's a big deal. I met John Dawson once, son of Joy Dawson. And he's an author. He wrote a book, Taking Our Cities for God, in the 80s. That's like an old one. Was that Bruce? No, that was Robert, right? Is that you? You're dating yourself. It is a good book. So John Dawson, we're sitting in a group, and he's telling us this story that they were doing an outreach in New Orleans at Mardi Gras. And so John Dawson, famous guy, book writer, son of, you know, famous Christians, and he's going through the streets of New Orleans, and it's 4 o'clock in the morning, walking back to his hotel. You know, the streets are pretty well dead, and there's litter and paper everywhere. And he comes across somebody, he said, lying in the gutter. Like they were half on the street and half on the curb, just lying in the gutter. And the briefest thought went through his mind. What a loser. And here he was witnessing to people all night and sharing Jesus and all this kind of stuff. But, you know, just in our humanity, we go, what a loser. So he said, God just smote his heart. And God spoke to him and he said, if he had your parents, if he had your chances in life, if he had your upbringing, he would have gone farther than you have. And he just went, like this. Wow, don't judge. We don't know. We haven't walked in their shoes. We don't have their parents. We didn't live in those areas. You just love. You accept people where they're at. Love them where you can. Does it mean you have to subject yourself to abuse? No, but you love where you can, and you just accept people. We don't judge. It's not our place to judge. It's our place in the church to judge whether a scripture is true. We're to do that kind of judging, but not this on people. The next one is forgive. Forgive and you'll be forgiven. That's a command. It's not a suggestion. We are to forgive. This is a big deal. And in the most simple way I can say it is God forgave our whole lifetime of sin because we asked. Jesus' last words at the cross were, Father, forgive them. Well, not almost his last words. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. He wasn't talking just about the Romans there. He's talking about you, and he's talking about me. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He forgave us a whole lifetime of sin. We have no choice but to forgive others. Always. Always forgive. Always have. There's nothing in the Bible. There's nothing in here. If I'm wrong, you show it to me, that says you can be bitter or hold resentment for any amount of time after you've been wronged. You don't know what they did to me. They didn't do anything worse than Jesus that was done to Jesus. And he was way more innocent than we are. And he said, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. We have that same. Forgive, and it will be forgiven you. And then the next one, he says, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Jesus is talking about a generous lifestyle. In the New Testament, we're not under the law of tithing, but we are under the new covenant of giving. And I'm telling you, just at the beginning of the year, I'm telling you that if you want to prosper in this world financially, you need to do things according to God's pattern. That's going to be my preach next week, is according to the pattern. But in the Old Testament, you couldn't commit murder. That was the law. The New Testament, grace, or the new covenant, is you can't even hate somebody or you've committed murder, which is more difficult. This is an action. This is an attitude. Attitudes are much more difficult to corral than actions. In this one, you couldn't commit adultery. Over here, Jesus said, you can't even look on a woman with lust or you've committed adultery. Action, attitude. Over here is tithe. You shall tithe 10% of your income, bring it into the storehouse, and I'll rebuke the devourer. All those promises remain true. The law is still the law. It's not okay to murder now. It's not okay to commit adultery. We still have those. That's God's law in our heart. And over here, Jesus said, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. Some people don't want to trust God with their finances. They trust God with everything else, but no, not my finances. I'm saying, if you let God, I can't say this. You guys, the ones of you that know me, I will not be manipulated, and I don't like manipulating people. But I can tell you, it's the truth. It's the best thing for you. If you trust God with your finances, talk to somebody who has a good handle. Make sure that if you don't understand, go to our new class that's going to start in a month or two of Financial Peace University. Make sure you get a good handle on God's finances, because the way you measure things out, that's how God's going to measure back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. And I told my kids when we open up a box of cereal, of cornflakes, and I said, look it, is this full? And they look in there and they go, a brand new box. It's like a third down. Why? Because it's been shaken together. So then I pushed it down. I crunched it all the way down. And it's like this big. I said, now, how do you want God to measure to you? Do you want a full measure, shaken together, pressed down, running over? Or do you just want the fluffy stuff? No, I want all that God has for me in this area, not just so I can, it's me, but so I can become a conduit of blessing for others. That's God's way. So those are commands. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So how do we apply this to us here in 2014? So whether you need to change by getting back to the basics or get moving, just get started, or maybe you need a brand new start and giving your life to Christ, and you can do that right where you're seated this morning. Just say, yes, Jesus, I don't know all the answers. I know I've sinned. I know Jesus died for me in my place. I believe in you. I want to follow you. Make me your child. If you say that with a sincere heart, you can pass from death to life, from darkness to light, a new start, a brand new life. And you got to tell somebody you did it so we can walk with you through that journey. So whatever kind of change, we need to depend on God's word. This is the final authority in all matters of faith and action. And we want to hear his whispers, the Holy Spirit speaking to us. And we want to be a people that are willing to change, willing to be teachable, willing to move on, because that's where God's called us to. Psalm 119, I love this. I love David's heart here. He says, teach me your decrees, O Lord. I will keep them to the end. Give me understanding, and I will obey your instructions. I will put them into practice with all my heart. Make me walk along the path of your commands, for that is where my happiness is found. Give me an eagerness for your laws rather than a love for money. Turn my eyes from worthless things and give me life through your word. Reassure me of your promise made to those who fear you. Help me abandon my shameful ways, for your regulations are good. I long to obey your commandments. Renew my life with your goodness. Father, thank you for this word today. Thank you for a fresh start in the new year. Thank you that you've called us to change. Father, I pray that we would be a people that listen to you, that are willing to obey, and then actually do obey. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.